Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the
spells at long ago.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
When Calgary's Katie Love Hess sang at a church talent show at just 4 years old, it was clear she had found her calling. As a small girl grew into a big voice, she spent her time singing gospel hymns and R&B classics, and after high school, touring with an a cappella band. In 2007, she competed and won the 620 CKRM Big Country Talent Show. First prize was a recording session and radio airplay of her debut single, Great Day to Be in Love. Katie is now working on a CD and has released a new single to radio, a great song called I Like It Like That. It's my pleasure to welcome Katie Love Hess to the show. Hey there, Katie.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Ah, you're welcome. A pleasure to speak with you. How are things going in Calgary tonight?
Ah, they're going well. I've actually been writing all day with Troy Coco. You probably have heard of him and know him quite well. He's a co-writer with Joni DeLaurier to Pickup Truck by Shane Yellowberg. So some brilliant writers. I get to write with each of them every Tuesday, so it's good.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, they're fantastic writers, that the big hit you mentioned, and great writing team. So every Tuesday, that's a good way of doing it, sort of having that structure with the writing.
Yeah, you know what? It's been really nice. They've kind of just tucked me under their wing. Actually, this year at the CCMA, someone said something quite profound to me, and they just said, pretty voices will come and go like yesterday's news, but words last forever. And I took that to heart, and Troy's kind of tucked me under his wing, like I said, and he writes with me all day on Tuesdays. And then all evenings I get Joni at my place, and we write all evening there, so I'm a pretty lucky girl. It's pretty
wow.
Fun.
So have you had those moments in those sessions where you've realized that you've struck on quite a good song?
Definitely. Actually, just writing even today, actually, you know, you're really able to feel it. Troy and I were just discussing that, but you can really feel it. The minute that the music's right and you're onto something lyrically, you can just kind of feel it, you know, in your blood, if you can say it, as cliche as that sounds,
sure.
That something creative is there and that you're enjoying it and you're loving it. So it's a good feeling.
That's awesome. Now, can you think of anything in the time writing with them over the course of the Tuesdays that you picked up on or learned, anything about the songwriting process?
You know, I think the main thing I've learned is that it lasts forever, so especially in today's day and age, right, with the internet the way that it is and the web, that you want to write things that are real and that come from the heart, something that you believe in, something that you're okay with being around forever, basically. So I think if
sure.
you do that and you're true to that musically and true to that lyrically, you know, you've done a good job. Whether or not it flies is another thing. But if you've done
yeah.
that and you've stayed true to yourself musically and like I said, lyrically, I think you're good to go for the most part.
And I guess the same goes for picking songs for a CD. When you're listening to them, it might be a great song, but if you can't feel yourself or hear yourself in that situation, then you probably can't pick that as a song to record.
Exactly, Dave. Like if it doesn't mesh with how you live or you can't relate to it, that's right. I think the audience can hear that. I think we can hear that in other artists. You can tell when someone really feels something or has lived that, you know, whether they've written it or not. You can hear the connection, so that definitely makes a difference.
Well, we're going to play a couple of songs, and we're going to talk about some of the meanings in them and about the writers and so forth. But I wanted to hit on a couple of things, some brushes you've had with celebrity that have encouraged your career, one of them being Pam Tillis at a Craven Country Jamboree. She had her driver take her to your trailer, after she heard some of your show. So can you talk about what you and Pam Tillis, what that meeting was like?
it was awesome. I mean, first of all, the fact that, you know, it's Pam Tillis and we listened to Mel and her, you know, all of our lives. So
sure.
It was an honor just to be on the same stage and to think that I was in the same vicinity as someone like Pam. And so to have her, you know, she was on a golf cart going back to her trailer and she had her driver swing by, just like you mentioned, and she was just wonderful. I think for me what it did truthfully was obviously it was an inspirational moment for me to be able to be talking face-to-face with someone that I look up to musically like that. But even more than that, it just made her so real, which was really cool for me. And it just reminded me again that you just need to be yourself and you just happen to love singing and that's what you do. And I just noticed she was just a kind soul. So I know her as a great singer and I look up to her musically, but she just seemed like a really good, kind person, you know, and that was good for me to remember that at the end of the day, that's what really matters. So it was a really neat experience for me and definitely encouraged me musically. Absolutely.
Isn't that great? What a boost. And as you say, and I think it applies to country music the most, although to other genres as well, the artist, whether we meet them or not, it's great if we can meet them and they're that way, but just to know a country artist, or sorry, to hear them on the radio or see them on CMT, they just come across so genuine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think that although I grew up with country music and I love it, you know, first and foremost, I think that's what draws me to it, and that's what draws so many people to it, even people who aren't raised with it. It's like you said, it's honesty and the humility and just that genuine personality behind the music and behind the lyrics. And I think for the most part, for the few that I have met, that has been my experience with all of them. They're just really good people, and they just happen to do music for a living, you know?
Very cool. Now, the other celebrity is Ashton Kutcher. This is really cool. Through Twitter, and I'll let you tell the story, but he shared a song of yours that you wrote with Joni Delorier on Twitter. He sort of shared it with his wife as a message to her. Do you want to talk about that story?
Yeah, I'd love to. It was quite exciting. It's still exciting. It's funny, actually, to even hear you say it. But Joni and I were writing, as I mentioned, like we do every Tuesday, and it was Christmas season, and we were both in the Christmas spirit, and we said, let's write something for family and friends, and we were sitting beside the fire and beside the tree, which my husband and I had just set up. And her and I thought, you know, let's write a Christmas song. And so we did that. And over two different weeks, so two separate Tuesday evenings, we finished the song and we thought, let's put it out on YouTube for our family and friends. And we really, you know, would have been thrilled with 150, 200 hits. And she actually called me Christmas Eve. I think we put it out on the 22nd. And she called me on Christmas Eve the 24th and said, have you checked this out? And I couldn't really even believe her. But she said, you have to go check it out. Ashton Kutcher got a hold of it and Twittered it. I guess he sent it as a message to Demi Moore, his wife, who we're all familiar with. And she Twittered it out to the universe, basically, and just said, look what my hubby sent me. And from there, I mean, I don't know. It just obviously just the power of the Internet, right? So last time we checked, I think it was 35,000, which still blows our minds. But
that's amazing.
Very, very cool experience, very humbling experience. Yeah.
Isn't that something that he somehow came across it and it meant that much to him to do that?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we were thrilled, I'll tell you that much. It was a great Christmas present for her and I.
And it's a beautiful song. I was listening to it earlier, and there's a YouTube video of it along with others at your YouTube site. And it's a beautiful song. It's one that I'm not sure if you plan on recording and releasing, but I could definitely hear a Martina McBride or a Faith Hill just zooming up the charts with it. It's so well written.
Wow, Dave, thank you. That's quite the compliment there. So I appreciate that, and I'll make sure to pass that on to Joni as well. That means a lot. But
yeah,
I don't know. You know, I think we hope to. I think I hope to record it at Christmas and hopefully have Joni even maybe on it with me. It's kind of a special story with it now, and it means even more. You know,
sure.
And I mean, it meant so much to us when we wrote it. Even besides Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, which was just amazing, you know, and the highlight, obviously, of the song. But we received letters from people whose husbands had just been deployed and, you know, to Iraq and just saying such kind things and that, you know, this was something that kind of brightened their day or, you know, the kind of letters that people take time to write. And so it has a whole new meaning for me now. So although I would love to dream of someone like Faith Hill or Martina, as you mentioned, I don't know. We'll see if it gets into the right hands. But I may just record it myself at Christmas is kind of the way we're leaning. So we'll see.
Yeah, and that would be wonderful, too. It'd be great to hear that on the radio at Christmas with your vocals on it. Now, you won the contest I talked about at the opening, and I'm sure that was sort of an opening to bigger things in 2007, 620 CKRM, and that led you, the first prize, to recording time, and a song co-written by Carolyn Dawn Johnson was the one you got to record, Great Day to Be in Love. What was that experience like winning that whole contest?
You know, really, to be really honest, I had kind of been involved in a bunch of competitions in my life, and I'd say that was a competition where it just felt so right, and to be able to win it was just took me to a whole other level. I think not only did it give me a boost in confidence and kind of made me believe this is tangible, but it put me into the right hands of a lot of people, and I think in many ways was the connection to the industry itself. Before that, I was kind of unaware how to get involved in the country music scene. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? And so that right there was the connection to the industry itself. From that point on, I haven't missed a Canadian Country Music Week, you know, since then. And through CCMAs, have really been able to connect with a lot of fantastic country artists and writers and just people in the industry like Troy and Joni themselves, who I actually met the following year at the CCMAs. So it's been so many things to me, so much more even than just the win, right? And yeah. Of course, I got to record that song. I kind of went out on a limb and took a chance and wrote Carolyn Dawn Johnson, who, again, just another genuine, honest, humble, wonderful person. Wrote her a letter. She wrote me back instantly and just said, yeah, you know what? We're singing on the same stage at Craven. That was the year prior to Pam Tillis. She said, come and find me backstage, and I'll be sure to give you some material. So, because I was looking, I really needed a great song, you know, and I thought, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? She can be too busy to write me back, and she wrote me back yeah. right away, and she was just a kind soul and met me backstage and gave me a bunch of material. Yeah, so I feel like things have really, people have just been incredibly gracious with me, and so I have a lot of people to thank, but yeah, that's kind of the doors that 620 contest opened, definitely even more than just winning the contest itself, you know.
Well, that's very cool. Let's share that song now that you recorded after winning the contest. We'll share it now. This is Katie Love Hess and Great Day to Be in Love here on In the Country.
I'm
And that is Calgary's Katie Love Hess. The song is called Great Day to Be in Love. It was co-written by Carolyn Don Johnson, and it was part of the prize recording that from the 620 CKRM Big Country Talent Show. Great job on the song out there, Katie.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that.
Now, have you had a chance to hear that song or your other song on the radio as of yet?
I have, actually. I had an opportunity to hear both of them. I lived in Regina, actually. We've been kind of a little bit all over the country, not including Ontario. I haven't made it that far yet, but we've moved a couple times over the last couple of years and lived in Regina at the time, right after I won that contest. And so it got some good airplay out that way, especially. So I heard it a few times, which was a really cool feeling. I like it like that. I've heard just a couple times as well. Yeah, so it's a really neat feeling, you know. It's sort of funny almost, especially because you've poured so much of yourself into the song and you've heard it so often that it seems like, oh my goodness, this is actually being played right now. This isn't just me going through to see, you know, how everything sounds and if I need to tweak things or, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a really neat feeling, definitely.
Yeah, it must be great knowing as you're listening to it at that point on the radio, there's so many other people listening to it and getting to know you and getting to like the song.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely what you hope for sure.
So are you right now working towards a full-length CD to put all this stuff together?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's a goal in the hopefully not so distant future. Definitely have a bunch of songs ready to go for that album already. Just thinking that we'll probably release another one here in the not so distant future as well. And then we look forward to releasing an album. Once we're ready to go, you'll definitely hear from me.
And so to get through to the songs you've selected so far, I know sometimes artists go through, you know, hundreds up to thousands of songs to listen to. Have you listened to a ton of songs so far?
I have. You know, and someone told me right when I started, because I remember how, you know, you get stuff at the beginning and you think, oh, well, you know, I kind of like this one. And someone said, you know what, Katie, you will get songs that speak directly to you that you're supposed to sing, you know, and don't budge on that. Listen to a verse and a chorus, and if it hasn't spoken to you, you know, go on to the next one. And so I took that advice, and that is how I found them. I actually, when I received I Like It Like That, it's actually written by Ashley Gorley and Brian Simpson, both brilliant writers, and I received that song, and that was exactly what I did. I listened to a verse and a chorus, and I knew it, you know. I had a big smile on my face, and I felt like this song is great. It's just exactly where I'm at in my life and in the industry and in my career, and no one can decide for you except for yourself where you're supposed to be and how that's supposed to look. And so songs like that really grab you, and then you know, I'm supposed to sing that song. It gets a little bit more difficult when you start writing them because they're kind of all your babies, because I'm sure you've heard some writers and you know yourself. So it's, you know, it gets a little more difficult because then you try and think, well, I like this one, but this is just different. So is there a theme here, and how do we fit this onto this album, and how do they work together? So that gets a little more difficult, although it's a beautiful thing as well because, you know, it's come directly from you. So, yeah.
Yeah, because as an artist, it must be tough to be in that position. You're getting outside material, which is written by some of Nashville's best. You're writing stuff yourself, which, like you say, it's like children. These songs mean a lot to you. You've worked on them, and they've turned out great. So to try to have a balance in an album, because maybe you do want to have your own on there and not just have the outside song. So I guess there's a balance to strike.
I think it still comes down to what's the best song and what really shows the audience who I am and what hopefully what I stand for, you know, and what I enjoy listening to, what represents me the best. So I try not to, like I said, I mean, it's tough because it's your own stuff, but I try not to get too wrapped up in that. I try to put my stuff right beside, you know, some of the pros that I've received from Nashville, because although sometimes that seems crazy, it still has to, compete in a sense, if you
sure.
can use that word, with those songs. You still need the best song, right? And ultimately that's what I want. I want to sing the best stuff, and I want to release the best stuff that's going to, you know, impact people's lives and how they live, hopefully. So really I try and keep out of the equation if my name is on it, as hard as that is to do.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, if somebody's listening to the song on the radio, they're just interested in, obviously, that it's a great song, not necessarily that you wrote it, although oftentimes listeners do find that interesting, you know, that it's something you wrote. But like you say, you're looking for that next great song.
Yeah, you really are. And ultimately, you're right. As listeners and as an audience myself and as a fan myself, I just want a great song. You're right. Sometimes they sense it, and if you can sense it, then it's best, I think, to do your own stuff. You know, if you can sense that it's not from the heart, that's no good then either. It doesn't, like you said earlier, it doesn't matter then if it's a great song. If you haven't connected to it as an artist, it makes it difficult
sure.
for the audience, you know. So there's a fine line, you know. There's a bit of a formula that way in terms of connecting with it and still making sure it is the best song and all those things.
For sure. Now going back through the years, I talked about the church talent show at age 4. So obviously, this is something you've been doing, you know, your whole life. Did you come from a musical family? Is that what prompted you, or did you discover it on your own?
You know, I actually do. My dad sings. Both of my parents have, grandparents on both sides, both have music in all over in the family. So my dad directly, though, sang, and he actually sang all over when he was out of high school. And so I think it was sort of a dream for him when I took a liking to singing. There's 4 kids in my family. I've got 2 older sisters and a younger brother. And my brother's actually in Ontario right now. He's going to music production school out there. He's going to be a sound engineer. So there's a few of us that are involved in music, definitely. But I took a real liking to it, and I loved it, and I loved the performing from a very young age. So I think that was exciting for my dad. So actually at that first debut that you're talking about, I had my dad running sound as he was a sound master at the church, and my mom was in the front row mouthing all the words to me. So that would come from
musical family. What was the song that you debuted with at the church?
Oh, man, that's a
you
great
recall?
Question. You caught me off guard, Dave. You know what? I don't even remember. I think it was like there's a hole in the middle of the donut. I mean, it was something that I've never seen.
Great classic. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a classic hymn, I'll tell you that.
Very cool. Wow. Now, if you had an opportunity at some point, Katie, to record a duet with another country artist, a male country artist, sort of putting you on the spot, but is there anybody off the top of your head that you would like to record that with?
Ooh, that's a very good question. Now, are we talking Canadian or international?
Let's go with
maybe.
Yeah, let you choose.
Okay. So, did you say male, first of all? Did you say male
yeah.
Canadian?
Correct.
Okay, so male Canadian, I actually just got to sing on Cody Prevost's album.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty exciting. Yeah, and I'm
that is
a big
awesome.
Fan of Cody Prevost. Yeah, so that's
great.
Pretty cool. I am totally crazy for Gord Bamford's voice, so that would be a dream
yep.
come true as well. And internationally, I'd have to say Brad Paisley off the top of my head for sure.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, good choices. I've had Cody and Gord on the show, actually, in the last 3 or 4 months. Not Brad yet, but we'll work on that one.
That's awesome. Good. Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they're great guys, Cody and Gord, as you know.
Yeah, yeah, very good people, again, too. You know, great
yep.
great musicians and great writers, and but good people, too, definitely.
Yeah, well, let's turn back to the music now. And your brand new single, a great one, as you mentioned, written by Ashley Gorley and Brian Simpson, two big writers that are Nashville. And the song is called I'd Like It Like That. So what drew you to recording it? If you could share that, Katie, and then I'll play with play it for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Just mostly, as I mentioned earlier, you know, obviously I love the music and the drive behind it. It was just a real good feel-good song, but I loved lyrically what they had to say, and that's just that, you know, only you at the end of the day are in control of the choices you make, basically, and where you decide to be, where that purpose is supposed to be in your life and where it's supposed to drive you to and making that happen. So it spoke to me directly just because I feel like a lot of times in this industry in particular and in anything I think that you're passionate about, there's ups and downs and hills and valleys, and sometimes you can be low and you can feel like, what am I doing? But at the end of the day, only you are in control of, do I like how this is? Am I happy? Is this driven out of a place of joy? I was in a bit of a valley a year ago, just struggling a little bit with, okay, how do I approach this industry without the competitive side of things? And, you know, am I doing what I love? And I really came to the conclusion over the last year that I'm singing because I love singing. It's for no other reason. And I think
right.
when you can get back to that, that's a really good thing, because then you know you're exactly where you should be. So
awesome.
So the song just really, I think, grabbed me because it just spoke to me directly and exactly what I was going through. So that's basically it.
Perfect. That's a great story behind it, Katie, and we'll share it now. It's Katie Love Hess and her brand new single called I Like It Like That here on In the Country.
Slow down and catch my breath. Take time.
time to see a few more sunsets. My world might spin a little too fast, but that's alright, 'cause I like it like that. Sometimes I'll stray off the beaten path, go full steam ahead, but I should turn back. But I'll ride this train till it runs out of breath.
And that's Katie Love Hess, our guest on the line from Calgary, Alberta, and her latest radio single that is called I Like It Like That, written by great Nashville songwriters Ashley Gourley and Brian Simpson. Great job on that, Katie. You do such a good job on the fun up-tempo songs.
Thanks, Dave. That means a lot to me. You know, I enjoy them, so I hope that's coming across. That's really how I feel, both listening to them as well as in the studio. They're just a good time, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely feel good songs. What about a favorite cover song? Is there, when you're performing live somewhere or just around the house, is there a favorite song you enjoy singing, Katie?
You know, there's many, actually. I don't even know how I could choose just one, but I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton has always been a favorite. I know that's been played many times at many places, but it never gets old to me, as well as a Tennessee Waltz. That's one of my favorite songs. I would love to cover that song one day.
Two great classics.
Isn't it? Yeah, I just love it. And Bonnie Raitt did a little bit of a twist on it at one point just in a live show, and it's never left me. So I would love to do that song one day, definitely. There's so many. You know, there's so many great ones, so hard to choose.
Very cool. For sure. Well, Katie, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you and sharing your great music, and I wish you all the best as you put together the new CD.
Dave, thanks so much. I just can't tell you how much us indie artists appreciate you and what you do for us, so it's been a pleasure for me, and I hope to be in touch again soon.
Awesome. I look forward to it. My guest today has been a country artist, Katie Love Hess, on the line with us from Calgary, Alberta. I'm Dave Woods. That wraps up this edition of In the Country.
In the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here.